As promised, we're joined right now by an NFL Network analyst. He had a 12-year career in the NFL as a player and a scout, the founder of Big Play Football. You can follow him on Twitter at Bucky Brooks. He is the host of the Move the Sticks podcast, along with Daniel Jeremiah. NFL Network is going to broadcast the Bills-Browns live tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, so we have lots to cover. Bucky Brooks is my guest. Bucky, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you on. All right, so one of the ongoing storylines in the preseason is the new helmet rule and how the officials are going to handle it. What do you make of the way the rule has been enforced in the first 2 weeks of the preseason?
I think it's a classic case of what the league is trying to do is come down hard on players very, very early in the preseason to kind of set the tone. And then I think we will see them kind of lessen of the enforcement of the rule as they go on. But I think, look, the league is serious about trying to change the game, trying to take the helmet out the game. And even though some of these calls have been very, very questionable during the preseason, it is all part of a bigger play to take these kind of hits out now. So when we get into the regular season, they won't have to enforce them, and hopefully those calls won't impact the game.
You know, I wonder about that. I mean, if they're going to call it the way they're calling it right now and then dial it back during the regular season, is it going to fundamentally change football?
I think it's still going to change it because you have to coach it, you have to talk about it, you have to constantly tell your players, hey, you got to get your head out of it. Because what you don't want to happen is have one of these big calls change the dynamic of the game in the fourth quarter. So from a defensive standpoint, defensive coaches have to talk about it. They have to put in techniques in practice to make sure that they're trying to change the way their players are hitting. Can they fully take the helmet out of the game? I don't necessarily believe so. But I do believe they can continue to try and modify the way guys are tackling on the field.
Bucky Brooks joining us. All right, so one more thought about that. Defensively, that's the angle. If you're an offensive coordinator, how much are you trying to develop ways to exploit the way the game might be called now? For instance, are you dialing up one pass after another over the middle of the field?
Oh, absolutely. I think what we're seeing is the league is shifting anyway. The league has become one where the passing game is everything. Your running backs have to be able to catch the ball out the backfield. People are investing in wide receivers over other positions outside of quarterback. So, yeah, if you're an offensive coordinator, you want to take advantage of the league rules. You want to take advantage of teams not being able to really defend the field by having an enforcer between the hashes. So you want to attack it because pass interference penalties, helmet-to-helmet contact penalties, defensive holding, all those things play in the offense's favor. You would be silly not to try and take advantage of the rules because they're catered to the offense, being able to throw the ball all over the yard.
Bucky Brooks joining us. All right, so last night the Patriots lost their first-round pick, Isaiah Wynn, to a torn Achilles, reportedly. I mean, that's devastating. How big of a loss is that for that team?
I mean, I don't know if anything is really a big loss for the Patriots unless they lose Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the guy that kind of makes everything go in New England. You saw last night he plays a half. He absolutely shreds the Philadelphia Eagles. And all the questions and concerns that we had about the Patriots no longer are there because he is the guy that is able to make other players better. So even though they lose a first-round pick and Isaiah Wynn, a guy who's going to start for them and really solidify their offensive line, as long as Tom Brady's there, he can make that offensive line better because he masks their issues and their inefficiencies because he is able to get the ball out of his hands quickly.
Bucky Brooks joining us once again. All right, Bucky, what about the Jets situation? Sam Darnold had a few moments last night against Washington, but so did Teddy Bridgewater. If you're the Jets, what kind of thoughts are you having right now about your quarterbacks after two games?
I mean, I think you have to be pleased with all your quarterbacks. Teddy Bridgewater has played well. They got Teddy Bridgewater on a really, really cheap deal. And I'm sure they would like to entertain thoughts of flipping that veteran into another high draft pick or whatever. But we'll see if there's a market for Teddy Bridgewater based on we haven't seen any quarterback injuries and the like. So worst case, you got a solid backup quarterback to go with Josh McCown and your young quarterback in Sam Darnold. I believe Sam Darnold is eventually going to be the starter. All the things that they're talking about when it comes to the quarterback situation, it kind of plays in his favor. The only way where I can't see Sam Darnold starting is if in week three of the preseason, he just absolutely messes up, wets the bed, and is not able to play at a high level. But everything that we've seen through 2 weeks, the game is not too big for him. He's taking care of the ball even better than he did at SC. I think he's trending in the right direction. And if you're comfortable enough where it's close, you play the young guy because you want to see the young guy play. So then in year two, you can build the offense around him. That's what the Philadelphia Eagles did with Carson Wentz. I think we'll see the New York Jets try to copy that formula. and put him in a situation where he can be really successful in 2019.
Bucky Brooks joining us here in the jungle. Now, Bucky, before I get to this question, I will admit my bias, but I love Jalen Ramsey. I love the interview that he did with GQ, but I need your thoughts. What was your reaction when you saw his comments about the quarterbacks around the league?
Well, I loved it. I love the fact that not only did he give a strong take, he put his name on it.
Right.
He didn't hide behind anonymity. He told everybody exactly how he felt. And if people really, really read the article, I think he gave good context behind the why he felt certain ways about quarterbacks. I know everybody today is talking about Matt Ryan and how he called Matt Ryan overrated, but really he gave good perspective. He said, look, this guy played at an MVP level before with Kyle Shanahan. Last year with Sarkisian, he didn't play well. So I don't know if it's really him or if it's the coaching that really elevated him. And I think that is true. I think that's a fair take from a player who is preparing to play against Matt Ryan and other quarterbacks. And so when people are up in arms about him having an opinion, I think what we really get in the Twitterverse, a lot of people are upset because he may have taken a shot at their favorite quarterback. But I give the player every right to voice his opinion and stand behind it. And I don't think he's going to blink because that's who he is.
Well, especially if what he said is fair. I don't see anything that he said that I think is unfair. Now, one of the things you've talked about when it comes to quarterbacks is there are two categories, trucks and trailers. What is a truck quarterback and what is a trailer quarterback?
Well, okay, so we break them up in trucks and trailers. Trucks are guys that actually carry the team. Trailers are the guys that need the team and the auxiliary parts to carry them. So a truck would be a Tom Brady, because it doesn't matter what you put around Tom Brady, coaches, players, whatever, he always finds a way to make it happen and succeed. Aaron Rodgers would be another guy that you have seen that team. When he's not around, you can tell that team may not have A-level talent, but you put him in the mix, he makes them better. Even Cam Newton and Russell Wilson, those guys would be considered trucks based on how they perform and how the team performs just on their mere ability to make things happen by themselves. Guys that would be trailers, I think you can say like Matt Ryan is a bit of a trailer based on we've seen his ability to play with and without Kyle Shanahan. We know he has Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman and all the weapons that they have around him. I think if you remove some of those players around him, he wouldn't play at the same level. I think you could say the same about the overwhelming majority of most quarterbacks in the league, Kirk Cousins and on and on and on. The majority of quarterbacks in this league need the rest of the team to be right for them to succeed. It's only a handful of guys that you can say, hey, I'm going to put it all on your shoulders, and you're still going to make us right and get us there.
Huh. And then maybe Ramsey added a third category, trucks, trailers, and trash. Now, he could not have been any more clear about his thoughts on Josh Allen. Quote, he's trash. I don't care what nobody say. He trash. He's got a huge arm. But does Ramsey also have a point about his accuracy and his decision-making?
Yeah, he has a point. He has a point based on the college evaluation. And I know there are a lot of people that were excited about Josh Allen. And Josh Allen could be a very good player in the National Football League. But he has some things on tape that he displayed that gave you pause, that made you have some concerns. He wasn't accurate, never completed over 60% of his passes in college. He played in a conference where he didn't face a lot of big-time competition. So when he did step out and play big schools, Nebraska's and Iowa's and Oregon's, he never really performed well. And so Jalen Ramsey's point is this, and we all go back to high school. Typically in high school, the dominant player, you can tell, because whenever they play an inferior opponent, he's the dominant guy. It's the same in college. If you are a top 10 pick, I should be able to feel your presence when I watch the game. Say what you want to about Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. There were games that I watched where I felt like those guys were the best guy on the field. In Josh Allen's case, I don't know if anyone ever got the sense that Josh Allen was the best guy on the field when he was on the field full of A-level talent. I think Jalen Ramsey's kind of alluding to that.
And it should be interesting to see how that plays out tonight. I wonder, in fact, you think, because of what he said, and I thought that Allen did as well as he could in shaking those comments off, right? He goes, look, he's not my teammate. It really doesn't matter. I don't care. But did those comments put Allen in the spotlight and maybe put a little more pressure on him tonight?
I mean, I think so. I think, like, anytime people draw attention to your game and you respond, you certainly are going to be watched and scrutinized. And I think there will be a level of pressure on Josh Allen. Not only is he competing for the starting job in Buffalo, but he's still trying to prove some of the naysayers wrong. Because for everyone that was for Josh Allen being a top 10 pick, there were a handful of defenders that were like, look, man, this dude, what he's doing is unprecedented. We've never really seen anybody like this kind of scoot to the number one pick or be in consideration for the number one pick when you don't have the numbers to back up the talent that we supposedly see on tape. So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on him and all the rookie quarterbacks to perform, because right now we live kind of in a microwavable football world where we want guys to go right from the college field to have immediate success as a pro. And I just don't know if Josh Allen is built to have that immediate success right away.
Bucky Brooks joining us. Listen, before you go, two of your former teammates, Seth Joyner and Clyde Simmons, are going into the Eagles Hall of Fame. A couple of absolute legends. What do you remember about playing with those two guys?
Man, it's so crazy. So I played with Seth Joyner with the Green Bay Packers. We were together in 97 for the Packers. And I can tell you, man, like, Seth was great. Having known him and watched him when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles, great leader, tough guy, brought it each and every down on the field. Clyde Simmons and I played together with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he was the ultimate leader. Look, he was a guy that could rush the passer, but more importantly, he could teach young guys how to be pros. The way he handled his business, the way that he prepped and prepared, he is everything that you want to have in that room to set the standard for young guys. I'm so excited for both of those guys to be recognized by the Philadelphia Eagles, because they were both great players for Philly, but also in other places where they play.
He is an NFL Network analyst. The NFL Network is going to broadcast the Bills and the Browns tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can follow him on Twitter at Bucky Brooks. Bucky, appreciate you. Thanks so much. Great to have you back.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Have a great day. Bucky Brooks joining us.